Philippians chapter 4, the book of Philippians chapter 4, and I appreciate all the good music tonight, good singing, I really do. Thank God for that. God knows how to cheer our hearts, encourage us in these days, and so I've got one service I want to, you know, I've thought about over the years. You go into a meeting, you've got 3 nights, 4 nights, 5 nights. You come in a meeting like this in one night, what can I say? What to a people who've had some of the best preachers, best preaching ever Sunday, and some of the best preachers in the country have been here. And so it's a very monumental task. I mean, I got thousands of sermons and a couple of them are half decent. But I got them from somebody else. But I do want to be an encouragement. Let me try to be an encouragement to you as well as a challenge. And God knows what we need, doesn't he? And so I'm thankful for that. Philippians 4, I just want to read 3 verses. And I call this 3 of the greatest verses in all of the Bible. And it's all good. I understand that. It's all good. I believe it all from kiver to kiver. And so I'm thankful for all the Word of God. But I told Brother Jody a while ago when we was singing, I said, you know, sometimes some of those songs, just certain phrases are something, and it just pulls a praise out of you, man. You just have to raise your hand or say amen or glory to God. And so all the scripture I understand is good. It's all inspired of God. But there's verses that some people have what they call a life verse. For some reason, that particular verse has meant something maybe very special in your life. It met a need for you in a special time, or maybe it was a verse. Some of you preachers might have been a verse that God used to clarify your call to preach, or whatever it might be. And so these are 3 great verses. They've been great in my life over the years, and scripture that I have quoted, I have mentioned numerous times, and relied on. Scriptures that I have really appreciated. I mean, really appreciated. You know, a lot of things would help us if we just learn how to really appreciate it. A lot of things in life, we let it slip by, we let it get by. Just like these songs that we're singing, some of the things we take for granted. A roof over our head, or shoes on our feet, or our family, our church, our pastor. If we're not careful sometimes, we won't appreciate these things like we ought to. And then if we don't, we won't appropriate them like we ought to. And we just kind of shake our head in disdain if we do that much. And if we don't appropriate those things, these are scriptures that I've really come to appreciate, and I really do want to appropriate them in my life. I want them to be real in my life. You may know, you'll be familiar with them. 3 very familiar scriptures here in Philippians chapter 4. The first one I want to read is verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a verse. What a verse of scripture. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Somebody said this would be a good motto for the Christian life. Well, it would, but it's more than that, isn't it? Some talk about it like it's a cliche. But it's more than a cliche. Verse 13, I can do, Paul said, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a great verse. Learn to appreciate that. And then you can appropriate that when you get in some things that are looks like it's undoable. Undoable. And then, of course, verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, be seated if you will. Let's look at these great scriptures tonight. What I want to do is just kind of, I want to tie them together and just squeeze as much juice out as we can as time will allow us tonight. I want to talk about these verses and why they are at least great verses in my life. Maybe they are your life. I want to say, the first thing I want to say about all three of them is that they are great positives. They are great positives. Now, we live in a world where there's a lot of negatives. And I understand, even in the Christian life, we have to have a proper balance. I know that in the Bible there are a lot of thou shalts, and there are some thou shalt nots. And we have to balance all of that in our understanding of the Word of God and so on. But I found that even what we might call a negative in the Word of God can really be a positive in our life. For instance, if God says thou shalt not do something, God's not really being negative. In fact, He's being very positive. If you will not do that, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Somebody says, well, I broke the commandments. Well, if you keep breaking them, they're going to break you. So the Word of God, even where the world might look upon it with a misinterpretation and look at it as though it's a negative, but we need to realize that even the negatives are positives in our lives. Brother Ken, apologize for trying to be so positive. I kind of came up in my young, early Christian life and cut my teeth, so to speak, on emphasizing, seemed like the negative. It seemed like it was just the thing that we were told to do. I went to camp meetings. I went to Bible conferences. And man, for years, I'm talking about as a young preacher, and I heard I can't help but just call it old negative, and it was just negative and negative, and it was the kind of preacher you really didn't have to study to preach and fit in. If you just learned those negatives, why, man, you could get people to shouting, and then in that same meeting, somebody would get up and preach on the grace of God. And that same crowd would just fold their arms, just sat there. You know? Somebody get up and just preach on Jesus. And then somebody get up and start preaching on some things. And I've seen them standing in the pews, waving their arms and shouting, you know. But I'm not apologizing anymore for trying to be positive in people's lives. Amen. Hallelujah. That stuff wasn't doing me no good. It wasn't doing my church any good. I'm glad God, I cut my teeth on that. I'm glad God pulled those teeth and gave me a whole new set of teeth. Praise God. Good grief. This is positive. How do you know? Well, look what he said in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall. That's positive. That's positive. Look in verse 13. Paul says, I can do. He says, I can do. That's positive. That's positive. I'm not trying to throw some power of positive thinking on you tonight, but it wouldn't hurt some people to have a little positive thinking, glory to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply. Shall supply. All of this is positive. These are positives. Let me go back and emphasize 13 for just a second. I can do. He didn't say I can't do. He said I can do. So that's a positive. And I realize that when we come to these truths, we have to have great principles to really properly interpret and understand them. For instance, let me give you that, and then I want to come back to that I can do. Some great principles here, and that is within the context. All Scripture has to be interpreted, if you will, and understood within the context it's given. And so, for instance, when he says, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, he's connecting that in the context with prayer. Yeah. Look what he said in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious about anything, really. Now that's hard. I understand that. So because it's so hard and difficult and impossible in the flesh, he says, let me tell you how you can be careful for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Those things that are making you nervous, those things that are making you anxious, those things that are causing you to be so careful, he said, here's how you remedy that. By prayer. You take it to God, those requests, those supplications, you take them to God. What? Some things? No. The superlative is seen here. He says, but in everything. Worry about nothing and take everything to God in prayer. Isn't that amazing? Everything overwhelms nothing. Everything trumps nothing. Let me move on. I started to say something Trump. That was good. Anyway, move right on here. Okay. Prayer. We're not going to ever overcome our worries and our anxieties, our nervous conditions, until we become men and women of prayer. Personal prayer. If you're a part of a praying church, and obviously you are, that's a good positive in your life. As you know, you can come to the house of God, and that environment and that atmosphere has a spirit of prayer. It is conducive to coming to an altar and talking to your Heavenly Father. That principle is a part of our appreciating and appropriating that positive there, and that has to do with prayer. Actually, when you come to verse 13, and the principle that must be established there, if we're going to really appreciate and appropriate it, is not only as praying people in verse 6 and 7, but what I want to call positioned people in verse number 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you can go and wherever Mount Everest is and just start out at the bottom and climb Mount Everest? I don't think so. No, let's just get real now. Let's don't make it say something that it doesn't say. If you're going to do that, then somebody's going to challenge you to walk on water. You'd better stand up in the shower. How are you going to walk on water? We don't have any mountains in Mississippi. We got a couple of big hills. Brother Josh knows where our church is. Brother Josh knows where our church is. Behind our church is what they call Wicker Mountain. It ain't. But it's a big hill. I don't know if I could even climb Wicker Mountain. It's just a big hill. Somebody says, yeah, but God, look. It has to do with position. Look what Paul said. Look in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I know how to both be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer. In other words, he said, wherever God places me. And so God has placed him in that prison cell. And yet this is the book. This is the book of the New Testament that emphasizes the importance of rejoicing. He talks about joy and rejoicing. But Paul's in a prison cell. But he knows he has been placed there. Not by the authority, but by the authority. And so when you have been placed by God, somebody said it this way. If God brings you to it, well, you messed that up real good for me, man. Just steal my thunder right out from me. If God brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. He said, well, what about that water walking stuff? Well, there ain't but two people on this planet in the history of the whole wide world of humanity, as far as we know, ever walked on water. One of them's the Son of God. I know Him personally. Bible says He did it. I know He did it. Now there's another guy that walked on water. You know how he walked on water? Because when he said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Come. Peter walked on the water. Now, when you get placed, your Christian walk, wherever it is God wants you to be, you take this verse right here in verse 13 and you can live on that. God has never brought me to a place or a situation or a thing in my life, but what He didn't give me the grace, the power, whatever it was, to get through that situation. If God brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. If God says to walk on the water, you better be sure it's God said it. If He says for you to do it, you can do it. Because you have been placed where He wants you to be and to be able to do what He wants you to do. That's a principle, you know, that we must apply to this verse. Paul was placed, so he said, in whatever state I am, whatever state, I'm content. I'm perfectly happy, content in the will of God. Whether my pulpit is allowing me to preach in freedom to hundreds, or whether I'm chained to a soldier in a prison in Rome. Now with that kind of attitude, He's going to be able to reach people. In play, in situation, otherwise He'd never be able to reach them. That's why when He concludes this little Philippian epistle, He says, all the saints, in Philippians 4:22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. No doubt in my mind, right under Caesar's nose, right under Nero's nose, maybe some of his own family members had gotten saved by the grace of God as a result of Paul being in the prison. And God used him. Wow. Then quickly, another principle, look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. What principle is that? Can anybody just walk in off the street, so to speak, and just claim that? No, you have to understand it within its context. So we've all heard it said, I'm sure, that God, Paul could say with inspirational authority to the church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need. Why? Because not only they were praying Christians and placed or positioned, but they are providing Christians. I love the language here, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need. But look what Paul has said in verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He'd already talked about their care of him, their communicating with him. So Epaphroditus took the offering and whatever it was that he brought to Paul, and Paul says, now I am full. So I looked it up. The same word translated supply in verse 19 is the same Greek word we're told by the authorities in verse 18 translated by the word full. When he said, I am full. He said, what's that got to do with anything? Look, these people were providing for him to the degree that his supply was met. You have supplied my need. I have all and abound, and I am supplied, is what he said. Then he turns around, and the King James translators said in verse 19, but my God shall supply. In other words, you'll be full. Just as I am full, you too will be full. And it's good to be a part of a church that is a providing church. A providing church. A church that's just not just taking care of itself, but taking care of others. Whether it be missionaries or evangelists or people in need, but a church that is unselfish. A church that is gracious. A church that is giving church. Now somewhere, sometime along the way, somebody might say, I know it wouldn't happen here, but somebody might say, how come we give all that money away? How come we always giving money away? Hey, because your pastor has enough discernment and insight and understanding to know that you can't outgive God. And if you'll take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. Amen. We try to practice that at our church. I tell our people it's job security. It's job security. God will look at our little church out in the middle of that cotton patch and tell the holy angels, take care of them now. They're doing my business down there. Take care of them. But Lord, that preacher they got, I know, but just take care of them. Take care of them. Job security. I know a little about the background of the church. I know you have given thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to preachers, missionaries, and people out in need. But it don't look like it's hindered y'all from doing some pretty good stuff around here. Our church, he can tell you, we're out in a cotton patch. And we like it that way. Not that I go and pick that stuff. We got people that will go, did it yesterday, because the cotton's open. We'll get out in the cotton patch and get their pictures took. I'm thinking, if you did what I had to do in a cotton patch, years ago, I ain't interested in getting my picture took in no cotton patch. I got bad memories of those things, those days. That four-letter word, work. Thought it was killing me, but it wound up as good for me. Good for me. But I'm just saying, God's give us so much more of our unity than what. And so there are some principles here that have to be applied to properly interpret or even to appreciate and then appropriate. Go back to these positives. Verse 13, he said, I can do. He didn't say, I can't. He said, I can. I can. Let me give you something, just a little reminder along the way about I can. Can you see that? Some of you on the back, can everybody see that? Tell them what it is, Brother Josh. It's I can. I can. Hallelujah. That's not a can't. No, it's not a can't. My wife has never told me, go to the store and buy a can of corn. She's a smart woman. And I tell you, If you could, you wouldn't get any good out of it. What about trying to, ladies, buy a taint of hairspray? Ain't gonna do you no good. Gonna do you no good. You gotta have a can of hairspray. Then you can spray your hair. What about a taint of paint? You're not gonna get any painting done if you went and bought a taint of paint. You gotta buy a can of paint. And so, he said, I can do. Not I can't. So I like it. That's small. I can, but I'm small. But I can. I can. Well, wait a minute. Let me include you in this. And you can. You can. I can. I can. I can. But you can. You can. Yes, you can. God says you can. Don't say you can't. If God brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. God knows how to help you. He didn't turn His head the other day and something bad happened. He's been watching you all along the way. So, I'm glad I can. I'm glad you can. I'm glad you can. I thought it'd make you feel better if you're a little bigger than me. See? There you go. Well, let's get all of us in it. Let's, you know. Man alive. We can. We can. You can. And I can. Here we go. Is that good? Man, it just reminds me. Just reminds me. I can. Some of you over there can't see it. Use your imagination. I done showed it to you. There it is. We can. You can. I can. Little old me. Little old me, I can. Well, surely. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more. One more. God can. God can. God can. God can. The only reason I can is because God can. I'm just a little can. I'm just a little can. I'm a little. Now you can, but the only reason you can't, because God can. He said, through Christ. There's no period where He says, I can. There's no period there. I can do. There's no period there. I can do all things. There's no period there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God can. Oh, man. You know, I got to hear this sermon I heard about the other day. Bear with me. And it said that he's talking about, I'm not even sure what all he's talking about, but here's a statement a guy told me about another sermon, another preacher preached, and said, he's talking about glory and talking about the weight, and said, you know, the heaviest people, the heaviest thing in some people's lives is maybe their job. That's, you know, that's the heaviest thing. For some people, it's their hobby. It's their hobby. For some people, maybe it's sports. Certainly not us Mississippi people. We're having a bad year. And Alabama's done contributed enough to it. One of my men told me yesterday, he said, I got a nephew, a son-in-law lives in Louisiana, big LSU fan. And then this guy was a Bulldog fan, and I'm a Rebel fan. He said, I called my son-in-law, and he told me yesterday, he said, why don't we get with LSU and State and Ole Miss and see if we can come up with one team? I said, man, but what's the heavy thing? But he went on to say, he said, you know, really? the heaviest thing in our life ought to be God. Really. I'm not talking about as in a weight to weight us down. I'm talking about, I never was a hippie. I grew up in the 60s. My daddy wouldn't let me be a hippie. I mean, I'm sorry, my hair's as long as it's ever been right now. He wouldn't let me. I wouldn't have knowed how, no way. I wouldn't even have knowed how. But one of my men reminded me yesterday, he said, you know what they said back then? When somebody said something, really something, he said, that's heavy, dude. That's heavy, dude. Now, I was thinking groovy. But heavy. Just how heavy is God in your life? I mean, really. Oh, that's it. How big is God? God can. Now I'm going to have to set this down. It's killing me. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, God. God has never said, I can't. You've never gone to the altar and cast a care on God. And He said, I can't. Now for my good and your good, there's been a few times when He said, no, I won't. I'm going to tell you something. And I don't care if you go tell somebody I said this. I'm about as thankful.
Yes, sir.
For a lot of those times when God said, no, I won't. When He said no. And looking back, if I'd have got what I asked for, oh dear God, I'd have married the wrong woman. I'd have married the wrong woman. God said no. Before she even had a chance to say no, God said no. And then He put the right woman in my life. And I said, God, can I have her? He said, I can. You can. I can. All right. Y'all not listening near fast enough. No, man. Great positives. Great possibilities. Quickly. Great possibilities. What are the great possibilities? Verse 7, the peace of God. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The power of God. And verse 19, my God shall supply great provision. All of these are great possibilities in our lives. You can avail yourself of the peace of God. Or you can scrape through, scratch and crawl through life, miserable, a wreck, not availing yourself of the peace of God. That is a great possibility in your life. You can have the peace of God. You can have the power of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So many things I cannot do on my own. But everything that God has ever told me to do, I can do through the strength that He gives. And then the provision, my God shall supply all your need. All these are great possibilities. I'd like to expound on them more. Let me hasten on. Great positive, great possibilities. Great problems. The reason these verses are so great, at least in my life, is because all of them are connected with some type of problem that can actually be overwhelming. Let me show you. Verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all what? Understanding. You ever been through something and you don't understand it? Huh? I mean, it's one thing when you can sit down and look it up, analyze it, and understand it. I mean, I've buried some people lately. We've had more funerals the last 2 months. All different ages. Buried some that were in their 80s. Now, as much as it may hurt to bury an 80-something-year-old loved one, I understand that. I mean, we wear out. These bodies wear down. And we're going to die. If the rapture doesn't come, we're going to die. I understand that. I buried a granddaddy. I understand that. I buried my dad. He was in his 70s. Now, that's still pretty young. But I understand that. And so some things in life, even in that, God's got grace for us. But I'm saying there's some, but it's the things that come that maybe we don't understand. Josh Sparks' dad died somewhat in the peak of his ministry. Pastor. Pastoring a great church, a growing church, preaching meetings and revivals everywhere. And cancer got him and took him home. I could name others. And us don't really understand some of those things. Last April, a year ago, a little 15-year-old girl in our church was going from the living room area of their house outside, down the driveway, out to the edge of the road, where she had a little rose bush planted. She would go there every morning. She'd go there every evening. That's where she had knelt as a 15-year-old and surrendered her life to missions. She already had a place in her heart in Africa where she was going, where she had heard that they trafficked, human trafficking and little girls and things. What drew her to that, I do not know. She's from a godly home, homeschooled, brilliant, everything positive, no negatives whatsoever in her life or her siblings or her mom and dad. One of the greatest Christians you'd ever meet this side of heaven. On this particular night, when she got through praying, apparently, we don't know for sure, but she turned and started back to the house. The driveway was about 25 yards to the front door. And somewhere between that little rose bush and the front door, right there in the driveway, she apparently just collapsed. Face forward. A few minutes, her brother come out looking for her, found her. Got her dad. He's out there. They tried to resuscitate her. Couldn't. Later, after doing an autopsy and all the things that they did, the doctors concluded that, as you've heard it said before, she was probably dead before she hit the ground. 15 years old. Godly. Godly. Nobody stood around and scratched her head and said, well, probably because she got off into sin out there. Some, oh, no. Oh, no. No. Well, maybe her mother and dad. Oh, no. No. Her dad's got a prison ministry there in our area. He goes to that prison ministry faith. He preaches for me a lot of times. I'm telling you, in every respect. It was the night before our mission conference started. 11 o'clock that night, that mother called me. I was crying. Hysterical. I mean, just, I don't have time to tell you the whole thing. But I just had to tell them, I don't understand. I don't understand that. They still to this day don't understand it. But her dad is now preaching a message, some things I learned from my daughter's death. And God has ministered so much grace to those people. And they have found a peace that passeth all understanding. If the only way you can get through this life is to understand everything that happens, you're going to be in a mess. Because we're not going to understand it all. But God says, I got something better than understanding everything. He says, I've got a peace. There's understanding. There's understanding. We don't understand it, but this peace just passes it by. And leaves it. Peace that passeth all understanding. I could talk about that a lot more. Let me talk about another great problem. Look in verse 13. I can do all things. And we sure don't have time to develop that, but a lot of stuff comes under that umbrella, doesn't it? Things. Can do all things. I've actually had God tell me to do some things that I thought, I can't do that. I cannot do that. God says, yes, you can. So I said, I can. Then I told my people about it. Said, you can. Then I said, we can. And when they don't get it, I say, because God can. God can. God can. And then look at verse 19. My God shall supply all of your what? Need. Great problem. Let me give you this. Great potential. What is that? Look in verse 7. Just about through. The peace of God which passeth some understanding. Yeah, that's right. It says all, don't it? The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Wonder what that means. Somebody said all means all, and that's all means. All means is all. Passeth all understanding. Great potential. Wait a minute. What does verse 13 say? I can do some things. Said all again. These verses really connect without me having to connect them. I mean, they just connect. Well, surely verse 19. I mean, verse 9, but my God shall supply. There it is. All. Now, having said all that, really the one thing that makes all of this really is a great person. My picture's not there. Your picture's not there. Someone else's picture is there. It says in verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Surely he wouldn't say it in verse 13. Let's look. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, that's two out of three. We want to stop there. But no, let's go ahead and look in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just love that. I love that. Man, that's good. Sermon may not be so hot, but those scriptures are good. That's good. That's good. A great person. He's what makes it all possible. It is all about him. You take Jesus out of those verses, and the whole sermon just collapses to the ground. Ain't no I can. Ain't no you can. You take him out, and for sure ain't no we can. But oh, wait a minute. Thank God, God can. God can! So be sure and get you some God can before you leave here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.